You are listening to the Better Together podcast, brought to you by the National Association of Free Will Baptists.
Welcome to the Better Together podcast, where we look for ways that we can work together to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. Today we have with us Pastor Tim York. He has served as the pastor of the Grove Church in Smyrna since 2011, and he's also the moderator of the National Association of Free Will Baptists. He's served in that capacity since 2004. So welcome back to be with us today, Pastor Tim.
It's always a joy to be with you.
Well, every pastor has an association, a conference that they sometimes meet three times a year, four times a year. There's a few that would only meet one or two. If we're honest, most pastors aren't like, "Woo, I can't wait till the conference meets." At least in the last few years they've been that way, haven't they? Why should the pastor go to their local association meeting?
Well, I think there are multiple reasons. I have always been a part of my local association because I think it's important to do that. I would first of all say that, you know, Free Will Baptist set it up to where normally, not all associations, where that's where our credentials are held as ministers. That's not always true, but that's pretty normal among us. And so I would say two things. One, every pastor ought to be a part of that, and I think he ought to take his people, because that's where we fellowship. That's where like minds bind together. Now, we may not agree on eschatology. Mm-hmm. We may not even agree on certain standards. But here's what we do agree on, the treaties. Mm-hmm. And that's the doctrinal standard in which drives everything for a Free Will Baptist. And so this association meets. We are like-minded people. We may not be philosophically like-minded. That's one of the things that gets us in trouble. We want everybody to be philosophically like us. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about the treaties. Mm-hmm. We anchor in the treaties. And there are a lot of people who will come to a national association and have never attended the local association. That's not how we're set up. We're set up, you know, local church, local association, state, onto the national, unless you know, you're a district or a local church that can't get to an association meeting. I think, second of all, it's the most ordination and how we ordain may be the most important thing and may be the greatest threat to doctrinal issues in Free Will Baptist. Because when you ordain someone, there's never a review board after that unless somebody brings a charge. So sometimes as pastors, we need to be there, make sure the guys who are being ordained have the theological wherewithal to know the doctrine and understand the treaties. Because without that, it doesn't matter how good a guy preaches. That's one of the things we get all messed up on. Doesn't matter how good he preaches. Doesn't matter how much Bible he can quote. Those things really doesn't matter when it comes to ordination. It's does he believe what we believe? That's the key.
That's good. So occasionally someone will contact us. They'll complain about a pastor. In our polity, all that's handled at the local church. It's handled at the association level. But that's also really critical, because if someone is off track, those associations, those local churches, they have to take care of those issues, or it could turn into something pretty big.
Well, one of the things people understand about Free Will Baptist is the most important thing you're a part of is a local church. My local church membership at Grove Free Will Baptist Church anchors me to my association, to my state, and to the national. I cannot be the moderator of the National Association unless I'm a member of the local church. That's a member of a local association. That's a member of the national. And so when you follow that, one of the things people fail to understand is technically the local association can't bring charges even. The national can't, the state can't, or the local district can't. It needs to be the local church. Now, if the local church refuses to bring charges and it's evident that there's a problem, then the association can deal with the church, not the individual. And so we have to understand our local churches are autonomous, and therefore their membership, they must bring accusations against a minister. They can't just hope the association does something. It is totally inappropriate for an association to do anything without a letter from the local association stating those charges. Mm-hmm.
And so this is why these associations and actually churches, so important that they be strong, they be healthy, and that's a good reason why a pastor should really be involved in their association, because that's really where it happens.
And I think one of the things that's caused the delinquency in our associations, and I attend a lot of association meetings. I'm in a lot of our quarterly meetings and associations, is they put them on automatic pilot. They do the same thing, the same reports every single quarter. I would encourage every person who's a part of setting up an association program, make it worthwhile.
Absolutely.
Now you say, well, we got great preaching. Well, that's not all. Train me.
Yes.
Let's bind together and do a project together. Let's help somebody do something in a positive way. I think that would bring a lot of life to the association.
That is great. And so even just before we came in here, we've got a question about helping folks with transgender issues. You're thinking that is the kind of thing that would be good training at a local association, helping prepare folks to explain apologetics. In other words, where we got our Bible from, how we know we can trust in our Lord, or how to help other people that are depressed or addicted. There's all kinds of things we can provide training. And you, if you're listening, you need to know we're offering that. You know, our national leaders will do that. You'll do that. We'll go to your association and try to do what we can to help equip you with some of these things that we need to know.
It's so important for the local church to be a part of the local association, so and the local association be doing its job. See, back when we were founded, it was fellowship.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't have Facebook and Twitter, and you didn't have cell phones. You didn't have you couldn't communicate. You didn't see each other all the time. Well, we see each other a lot more than we ever have.
Mm-hmm.
But that does not take away the place of this group of people who gather to do something important, like train, motivate, whatever that may be for that quarter.
Might even be able to minister together if they really think about that, meet a need in a community. Now, we're in a lot of association meetings. I don't see a lot of deacons there or lay people there. I see a lot of pastors and maybe a handful of deacons. Why should lay people go to the association meeting?
Well, lay people can connect with other lay people. And when they do, what they see is they can help each other.
Mm-hmm.
They can become, you know, their spiritual gifts, how they're applying them, their local church can encourage this guy who doesn't see that vision of how to use his spiritual gift. But then he meets this guy at the local association who has the same spiritual gift, and he's doing this. And so all of a sudden, he becomes a part of that. I think sometimes we've been afraid to bring our people because there wasn't a lot going on.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's going to be – there has to be a change.
Yeah.
And I think there has to be a revitalization of the associations and their reason and purpose. And make it interesting. Make it exciting. Make it where people want to go.
Mm-hmm.
And they learn something and they have – you know, they're grasping some stuff.
We've got a task force called the 3 for 30 Task Force, as you know. Reach, train, and give, the goals we're working on in the years 2020, this decade. And so one of the things they have suggested is that associations come together for ministry. So like there might be a prison in the area. There could be where churches come together for law enforcement day, or where they may provide vacation Bible school for a church that doesn't have that. Really what you're saying is that's another avenue, that's another way that associations could be effective.
Oh, it'd be wonderful, wouldn't it, if a church, say a church is struggling in your association. So instead of saying, hey, y'all got to cook dinner for us at noon, we just say, hey, we'll grab something, bring it over. And all the churches meet as an association in that small church, or maybe a large church with a large building with a small crowd, and do, you know, an outreach, do a fair that day, do a ministry that day. One of the things I think associations, our teens need to get together. They need to see that there are other believers. You know, our kids attend the Tennessee retreat, Tennessee Free Will Baptist retreat every year, and they come back excited. the same can be true in local associations. We can do so much more. Couples retreats.
Yes.
Why can't we all get together and do a couples retreat or
ministers retreat?
Ministers retreat. Listen, and to ministers, let me just say this too. When a minister in your association is going through a hard time, it's not the time to ignore him.
Mm-hmm.
It's a time, or his wife's going through a hard time. It's a time to bless him.
Mm-hmm.
If his kids are having surgery, he doesn't have a pastor. Be there. Show up. Love on him.
That's good.
I think if we brotherhood together,
yeah,
it makes all the difference in the world.
So there's a lot we can do through our associations, and we're actually encouraging people to get involved in their association.
Absolutely.
Which could even go to the point of being a leader in the association. So there's moderators, there's an assistant moderator, there's a clerk, an assistant clerk, and a treasurer. Give us a quick breakdown about what these people do.
Well, the moderator, of course, is what I call the referee of the organization. He referees the business meeting. System moderator kind of helps him in that. He's always prepared in case he gets sick or something comes up he needs to change. The clerk is the guy who keeps all the records and keeps all the minutes, keeps everything in place. System clerk will help with that. Treasurer, of course, takes care of the funds. And there are other things inside the association. You know, youth leader of the association, camp leader of the association, education.
Mm-hmm.
There's being a part of the presbytery, which is very,
very
crucial,
important.
Or the credentials committee, whatever you want to call those two. sometimes resolutions. So there's a lot of opportunities, a lot of moving parts,
mm-hmm.
and sometimes we miss that.
So I get elected as the moderator. What in the world do I do to prepare? Perhaps no one tells me anything about that.
Well, one of the things I would suggest being a moderator is first thing you do is buy you a copy of Robert's Rules of Order. Now, that's not the all in all.
Mm-hmm.
I would suggest you sit down and read your bylaws carefully.
Yes.
That is the rules.
Yeah.
And if you've adopted the rules of decorum, then I would also do that as well. And I would get very familiar. I consider moderating just like umpiring or refereeing a ball game. I got to be fair. I can never have a bias.
Mm-hmm.
Let me just say this. If you're elected moderator of your association, it's not the moment to get your agenda done.
Mm-hmm.
Your agenda has just left the room, and you're now in charge of everybody's agenda, and you have to be willing to do that. You know, there are things that go on the national floor that I probably, if I was sitting in the delegate, would probably get up and go, that's not good.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not my role. My role is to be fair. And so I would know all the rules. I would know as much about Robert's Rules Order as possible. I would call, you know, the national moderator, the state moderator, or the former moderator and say, hey, let me throw some things at you.
Yes.
And one of the it's like game day for a ball player almost. You have to be mentally prepared for what might happen and know what to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I always say this, when you don't know what to do, stop.
Mm-hmm.
Call timeout and lean over to a clerk or somebody and say, hey, this is what I'm thinking about. Am I missing something here?
Yeah.
And that kind of helps you move
get
along.
Some help. Get yes. some help. Guess good. So Robert's Rules of Order, something to really look at. Know your bylaws really like the back of your hand. And,
right.
And it would be okay at that point to even – pull them out and take a look at them along there with the clerk who is usually sitting down and in a little bit more relaxed situation.
Just writing off.
Yes.
I will tell you, your clerk is your best friend.
Mm-hmm.
I've moderated local and national, and I always lean on my clerk. The clerk is the one who guides us.
They've sometimes have been there for several years and really know a lot about what's going on.
And they can read while you're talking.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say this as well, and this is kind of as I don't know how to say this. When you're the moderator, your voice needs to be the least heard of anybody in the microphone. Sometimes I go to associations where the moderator comments on everything that takes place and drags the meeting on for a long period of time. That's not good moderating. Learn to understand I don't need to commentary everything. I just need to keep it moving along.
That's good. So just because you start attending your association does not mean you'll become the moderator.
No.
but we do want everybody to think about what can I do to make the situation better? And that means you'll need to serve in some way. It doesn't mean you have to be an officer or any of these positions we've discussed. You're just showing up. And that's step one. Show up, be present, and be involved. And it makes a difference.
And you're involved, whether mm-hmm. you're up front or not. Mm-hmm. You don't have to be in up front to be involved. Every one of us, when we sit through a business meeting, sit through a session, we are involved. My voice will be heard, and I may be the only one with that opinion,
mm-hmm.
but at least I get to share it. And I would just say this to moderators as well. When somebody's up sharing their opinion, make sure it's on subject, and they're not chasing rabbits. I've had to sometimes say, hey, I appreciate you, but we're not where we need to be in this subject right now. We got to stay on focus.
Yeah, that helps, and that makes it more likely people will come back to our meetings if they're run decently and in order, because you didn't really waste their time and stayed on subject. That's good information, good advice, Pastor Tim. So thank you for sharing that with us today. We appreciate it a lot.
Good to be with you.
And we appreciate you who've listened to us today. So we encourage you to like this page on Facebook, to share this particular podcast if you can. Remember, the more you do, every little bit helps. And remember, we truly are better when we work together. Thank you for joining us today.